right on into last week, we started out looking out on a new year, a new you. And we are already 2 weeks into the new year. Exactly 2 weeks, I should believe. And you almost can tell that the year probably, if no necessary steps are put in place or plans are put in place, almost feel like you're already in June, isn't it? So you don't even sense that it's even in January or something. You feel like you're somewhere in April or something. It's very possible, don't you think so? I feel like I'm already in 2025. Well, that's a reality. So there are many things that you should be putting into the year to make sure that it actually becomes, you know, that best year for you. Or that becomes the beginning of many good years ahead of you. And one of the graces God puts on me as a leader or as your teacher is that he somewhat has a way of just highlighting certain things that you need to know as the word of God comes to you so that you can become fruitful and prosperous in your pursuits and prosperous in your walk with God and prosperous in everything that you find your hands on. So we started looking out on hardness of heart, and I'm already believing that you are practically beginning to put this into, you know, your heart, and you're practically beginning to, you know, ensure that you are living, you know, in what I call it softness of heart. I had a very good friend, and sometimes you hear someone say, "Hey, wait, na kuma ye din yo? O ka bi bi che na kra ontie? Na kuma ye din papa?" You see that? It means he cannot, what he has set his heart to do, that's what he will do. You can't change, unless the harm is done, the damage is done, then you see that everybody is now quiet. You see, I'm sure some of you have siblings like that. Even when you are 5 or 6, you'll be able to identify like one kind of a sibling, like when he says he's going to do something, I know who that is. Even in my family, you can tell that this person, when he says that, "Hey, we are going to fight this fellow," unless the fight happens, unless one grandfather everybody respects a lot comes in. And even with that one, it's like he's listening, but he doesn't really want to listen. It's like he's very focused on achieving what he wants to achieve. All right. So that's not actually what the Bible depicts, you know, when it comes to hardness of heart. But to a greater extent, I think it directly relates to that. But whenever the Bible speaks about being hard-hearted, it means you're slow to believe, all right? You know, you're not quick to acknowledging what God is doing. You know, you see a miracle and you say it's fake. No. So we said that those are some of the things that we must be open to in this year, is that what the word of God says we have, we believe we have. What God says we are, we believe we are. What God says we can do, we believe we can do. We don't need any other convincing factors from some other person to come and tell us that this is what God is saying. No, God's word for us is enough. So we started looking out on, you know, just by the leading of the Spirit, there are many things you should pay cautious attention to. But like I said, sometimes God's Spirit has a way of just highlighting certain things for the sake of the people and for the sake of what they should become, right? So hardness of heart is what we had discussed. Now, we had moved on to talk about being stiff-necked, right? Yes, and how, you know, being stiff-necked siphons the presence of God in our midst, and it's kind of, you know, causes breaks in the things that God wants to do. You know, stiff-necked, right? So in this year, we said that we're not going to be full of unbelief. We're not also going to be stiff-necked. It means we're stubborn. Somebody who is stiff-necked is stubborn. You know, I use the illustration of an oxen who treads the farm. and you know the owner wants it to go into a certain direction, and you see that it consistently is bent on moving in the direction that it wants to go. So in this year, you will ensure that your heart is not hard. It's like you are quick to believe God's word. I'm not saying quick to believe a lie. I'm saying you are quick to believe God's word. It's like you are swift to believe, right? And you also are not stiff-necked. You're not stubborn. You're not difficult to control. Not difficult to give an instruction and find you heeding to those instructions. Now, the third and final one we're going to be dealing with, as God's Spirit just impresses on my heart, that we should ensure as a people that we don't have that in our midst, is bitterness. It's bitterness. Bitterness. These things make us unfruitful. Now, hardness of heart will be, to a greater extent, unbelief. Right? Stiff-neckedness will be disobedience. Stiff-neckedness will be disobedience. Now, bitterness, to a greater extent, will be that we're not walking in love. So if you want to just mix these things together, we've been speaking about, so we're speaking about unbelief, we're speaking about disobedience, we're also speaking about bitterness, right? So these are three things that you would not want to have in your year. Makes it difficult for you to be fruitful. And I'm just going to be throwing some light on what bitterness is, right? And we must watch it. Okay? We must watch it. So there are certain times where you can get bitter. Before I move in, like, into showing you God's word, for those of you who had heard me say something concerning bitterness, I shared with you a certain kind of a vision that I was in a fast with. Like I said, if visions come to help, you know, throw more explanations to God's word is welcome. But if it stands on its own, obviously we don't listen to visions. Yeah? But this vision I had, I remember I was in a fast. And I was praying. Oh, what a time I had. I was praying. But there was almost like, again, I use the word siphon. It's like, you don't know, but there's this break. You see, it's not flowing smoothly. You know, there's a break. It's like there's something not flowing the way it should flow. So I started getting bothered because I had been in it for quite some time. And I was now wondering, why am I not having the free flow? Why am I not free flowing? You know, because when you know how you have a relationship with God, if it dwindles or if it becomes a bit faulty, you know, you almost can tell. So I kept on praying and praying. And suddenly I saw something in a vision, and I saw water that was fresh and bubbling. I could see, you know, the water was so fresh, right? It was fresh and bubbling. Like you could see that it was bubbling. And, you know, there was this freshness to the water. So I stood by it. I said, wow, that's fresh water. And right in the vision, I just had the Lord say, taste the water and see. So I made up my mind that I was going to taste the fresh water that I had seen. But when I did, I realized that the water was very bitter. So I said to myself right there in what I was seeing, I said, this thing is very bitter. How is this fresh? Yet still the taste is very sharp. I'm telling you, I almost could sense it in my natural self. And the Lord said, that's you. I said, how? And he said, there's something you're bitter about. So I didn't know what exactly it was. So I almost began to search, like, what's happening in my life that I think the water is fresh, but the taste is very sharp and bitter. And then I got to realize there was something that I was holding on to. Sometimes even unconsciously. Unconsciously. So I remember this was what happened. In the freshness of the water, there was a root, like a stem. Yeah, in the freshness of there was a stem. And I tasted it right there. I didn't even know the scripture or something until I later on discovered that there was a scripture like that. So many times to somebody that is bitter, right? The person is sharp and angry. I've used people that are angry before. It's like, this thing you've done for me, I swear to God. I swear my father, my mother, my sister, I'll not forgive you. So you see, there's a kind of a fury and a kind of a rage that you naturally subscribe to. Sometimes you're just naturally unhappy. Say, I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it. You're becoming bitter. There's a displeasure. You're not as bubbling and springing forth as you should. So there's just this displeasure, this pleasure. You're not pleasurable any longer. Times where you could also be a bit hostile. You're hostile. You're not hospitable as you should. And many times it's because we might have been hurt by what somebody said, hurt by what somebody did, hurt by a condition we were put in, not pleasantly happy about something that is happening around. And slowly, this root of bitterness begins to take seed in our life. It starts very little. It begins to take a place. It hides in a place and it's hidden right there. Many times you find out people say, I'll never forgive my mother. No. No. If you want to be fruitful and you want to do well and you want the Lord's blessing to be showing and showing and showing in every aspect of your life, I believe this is something you have to pay attention to. So many times you see that people are holding grudges against people. There's a natural tension. It's like when somebody enters into the room, there's a tension. It's like the person comes with a certain kind of a tension. The person comes with a certain kind of an attitude that causes everybody to just, everybody has to be quiet or everybody has to be some way. So you are bitter. You're bitter. And the Lord is going to help anybody here with any kind of bitterness, resentment, anger. You know, that state of naturally being unhappy with displeasureness. The Lord is helping you overcome it in Jesus' name. So let this root go so that you can be happy. And so that your walk with God can become flourishing. And so that you can do well. So many times you see that people are also looking for a kind of revenge. It's like they're waiting for something wrong to happen. So that's having a revengeful spirit. Or you want to pay back the person in a very wrong way. No, refuse to be bitter. Any root of bitterness. I'm going to show you scriptures so that you will begin to be on the lookout for being bitter. I remember a time also in my life. I don't know if I should share this with you. I think I should. And I've gone through some interesting things, and that's why maybe God, the Lord uses those things to teach me wisdom so that I can teach other people. And so there was a time I worked for a certain man, you know, so I went to him and I told him that, as a pharmacist, you know, getting ready to, take an exam. And he said, okay, come and work for me. So I told him, I said, how much are you going to pay me? And he said, oh, Pascal, I know you already, and I'll pay you out at the end of the month. I'll pay you. So I assumed that maybe the man was a good man, right? So I got there. I worked for him. First month, I didn't hear anything. Second month, I didn't hear anything. Third month, I didn't hear anything. Fourth month, I didn't hear anything. Maybe 3 months or so, I didn't. So I was like, okay, maybe I should just ask him, maybe what's going on? I mean, I can't be working for you, you know, when the deal is actually that you are supposed to pay me. And we didn't talk about payment, but I expected him to be mature enough to know. So I got into his office and I said, I've been working for you for like quite a number of months now. And you said you were going to pay me, and I've not heard anything. He said, oh, Pascal, you know, it's not anything I'm going to even pay you. I mean, I don't even remember even talking about payment with you. I said, what? You didn't what? I didn't say that in front of him. So I was quiet. I was like, oh, you know, I said, so my head was down, you know, so my head was down. I just had my head down, and, you know, tears just started drawing down from my eyes. And then I lifted up my head with like tears just rolling down from my eyes. And I asked him one question. I said, can I ask you one question? And I said, if I were your son, would you do that to me? He said, oh no, don't take it there. Don't take it there. You know, I said, okay. That's so I cleaned my tears. And right in that room, one of the things I almost could sense in the room, I could sense a presence that was angry and full of rage. I'd not experienced anything like that before. Yeah, I was in the room and I could sense a presence. It was an angry, it's like an angry presence in the room. That's how I felt. I don't know how he felt, but that was how I felt. I wasn't angry in my heart, but I could sense that presence. So when I walked out of the room, I remember just going back home. And while on my way back home, I knew, I said, Lord, please have mercy on him. Please don't do anything to him. I knew you were angry because the Lord hates a cheater. Right? So I wasn't going to fight him. I wasn't going to say, you know, I'll show you. I'll curse you. I'll do. No. I just kept my peace like that. And I started praying for him because I could sense it in the room. It's like there is somebody angry in this place. And I said, Lord, please have mercy. So when I went to, I was even praying for him. I was praying that the Lord would not have him. A few minutes ago, he got into trouble, was sacked. He called me, started saying, you know, something happened. I said, this one is not me. I didn't even have any problem. I didn't even speak against you. I didn't even, you know, say something. I even prayed for you. I didn't tell him that I prayed for him, but I said, I even prayed for you unknowingly. But maybe it's your bad deeds that are just chasing you. But me, I don't have anything against you. But he had already been sacked by then, right? So many times when people do things to you, and when people do things to hurt you in a certain way, or when people, you know, are suddenly, you know, unpleasant towards you, you know, they're sharp towards you, or they do things that warrant you to be unpleasant towards them or sharp towards them. Listen to me. I want you to be like Jesus. Are you listening? I want you to be like Jesus. Don't say a word. Don't get angry. Don't go and curse them. Don't go and say negative things about them. Don't go and fight them. No, just love them. Are you listening? Just love them. Just love them. So many times I could have decided to be bitter. Yeah, I could have. I could have said that the man has used me. And I'm going to stand in my room and curse him and speak negative words against him. I believe that was a test God gave me. I don't know, but I believe it was a test. I believe it was a test. I went back and I was praying for him because the way I could sense that, I could sense something coming on him was an anger. I remember I've been calling a few pastor and I said, please, let's pray for this man. I said, please, this man is in trouble. He is in big trouble. Yeah. But I wasn't bitter towards him. You also can begin to search around and things that people have done to you that have been held hostage in your heart. They've had a permanent place of dwelling in your heart. Begin to pull all those things out and begin to walk like Jesus on the earth. So there are many times people do things to hurt you. I've always said that we shouldn't get swift to getting hurt, right? We should have so much of a largeness of a heart that we can accommodate the things that people do to us. And many times the instance is that you could probably get hurt in the instant, but don't stay in it. Don't stay in it. Don't brood over it. And for 3 days and 5 days and for a week, before you realize it is 1 year. So anybody who is bitter is going to be, you know, you see, when you taste something bitter, you see how it tastes? It's like, It's like the person is sharp towards an attitude. And that's what happens in Genesis chapter 24, verse 41. I'll show you that scripture. Let's see what's there. Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. It actually happened when Esau became bitter. He became bitter. We will go on see that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, how that Hebrews interprets that bitterness. It's actually Hebrews that tells us actually that he was bitter. But that was just the story of him being a bitter fellow. Many times your friend did something to you. They said something that you didn't say. They lied against you. Something that you didn't say, you know very well you didn't say. They said you said. They said you said. Something you know very well you didn't do. They said you have done. No, don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Don't allow that root of bitterness have a sitting place in your heart. Genesis 27:41. Don't allow that happen. If you can walk in this, you're going to have a thriving year full of love, full of faith. Because when you're full of, when you're not full of unbelief, you're full of faith. And that's how you can get things moving in the right direction that you should. In Genesis 27:41, nobody posts the scripture. I can understand. You guys are into the teaching. 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. I will kill him. I'll kill him. My brother Jacob, I will kill him. Dick, I'll kill that guy. I'll put the knife to his neck. I'll slay him alive. So many times, in being bitter, you realize that you almost want to have people not living. When we say not living, it might not be necessarily physical. It's like you want to destroy everything about them. You don't want them to even do well. You don't want them to even do well. You don't want them to do well. You don't want them to do well. You wish they would fail because they did something to you. Refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. Refuse to have people in your heart that you are bitter towards. You are envious about. you speak negative things about them in their absence. You see, you should not be interested in saying something negative about your brother so that someone laughs at him or so that someone mocks him. That's not a good thing to have. It's not a good thing to have. You should be covering your brothers and your sisters and ensuring that they are not exposed to shame. That's the brotherhood. So somebody who is bitter is also another person that is envious. The person is envious about somebody. The Lord, I can sense, is saving people from bitterness and rage and anger and, you know, unpleasantness. People that are just generally unpleasant. The least thing you do to them, they have a reaction. They can't smile. They can't flow with people. They don't understand people. The least approach, you see, they have a certain way of responding, and that responding is impulsive, and it's negative, and it's sharp, and it's unpleasant. It's unpleasant. Don't be like Esau. He sought to kill his brother. He says, "You, I'll kill you. I'll destroy whatever you are trying to build." Many of the times you see that a land somewhere, they say there's this land somewhere. Somebody here owns the land. You also own the land. Because of that land, someone's mother is dead. Someone's father is dead. Someone's uncle is dead. And they are fighting for the land. And there is bitterness in everywhere. In every heart, you can sense bitterness all around. Refuse to be bitter. Whoever tries to fight with you, let me tell you something. Whoever tries to fight with you for natural things, don't fight back. The only thing you should be fighting are for souls and disciples and men won and the things of the spirit. Apart from that, don't fight for anything in the flesh with anybody. Don't fight. It's not worth it. I'm the one that teaches you how to fight. But when I say don't fight, listen to it in the context of what I'm teaching you. When we say fight, we are fighting. You can see that we are fighting. But when I also say don't fight, listen to it in the context of what I'm teaching you. So you see that they generally become bitter. It's the same thing we see in Acts chapter 8 verse 9. In Simeon's bitterness, he was an unbeliever. Acts chapter 8. We're going to see that in Acts chapter 8, there was this man who is not too happy about something said concerning him. But there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simeon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, verse 15, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, verse 16, for as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And Simeon saw that through the laying on of hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. So Simeon is offering money. Do you see that? That's envy. He envies something that is happening. So what's happening is that he's going to find a way to get what he envies. That's envy. But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought the gifts of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Remember, he says that, "For thy heart is not right in the sight of God." Anybody that has bitterness, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Remember, if you're going to be a man that God uses, your heart needs to be right before his sight. Your heart needs to be in the right place. Anybody that has bitterness, that holds a grudge, that is unpleasant, that is raging, that is angry, that is tensious, that is sharp towards an activity, their heart is not in the right place with God. Your money will perish with you. That's what Peter says to Simon. Your money perishes with you. Your money perishes with you because your heart is not right with God. So many times, I can tell you for a fact, I can be sure that one of the reasons why the Lord loved David, I think the man's heart was right with God. It's not even I think, I know. Because God calls David a man after his own son. A man of his own heart. We see how David was treating Saul, even after Saul tried to harm him. We saw the heart with which David treated Jonathan. We see the heart with which David treated all the people that he had around him. So his heart was right with God. So anybody that has bitterness in their hearts is not in the right place. But you see something? God's granting you the grace to see that your heart, maybe, maybe not, is or is not in the right place, so you can put it where it rightly belongs in Jesus' name. So that when God sees through you, he does not see any sense of bitterness. Some of you are bitter towards your siblings because you asked them for something they refused to give you. But previously, you kept on asking them. They were giving you. So why wouldn't you see the good things they gave you and be appreciative of those good things rather than chastise them for that one time you asked for something and they didn't give you? Don't be like that. Don't be like that. A bitter person is an ungrateful person. It's an ungrateful. They've been showing you help for 2 years. Just a season of a month or 2 weeks, nobody could help you. You've become bitter. And then you forget the countless aids they gave to you. Don't be bitter. For anyone who is bitter, their heart is not right with God. It's not right with God. The Lord helps you to not be bitter in Jesus' name. It will siphon the flow of God's Spirit with you. It makes you ineffective in what God's called you to do. In the ministry, it makes you almost want to say, I'll kill that guy. I'll kill him. Many times it could even be your pastor, maybe myself. Yeah, because maybe I could say something you were not happy about. I could shout on you in a way you were not too happy. And then you suddenly hold on to something, then you are bitter. Your heart is not right with God. See, let it go so that God can use you. Let it go so that God can use you. And obviously, you must be at a very high place to be able to pick up an issue with your pastor. You must be at a very high place. You must be at a very high, that you are rebuked sharply and you don't think it's supposed to be there. Rebuked sharply. And then you took an offense. It's not a good thing to have. Let it go so that God can bless you through your pastor. So many times, you see that anybody whose heart is bitter is not right with God. That's why when you choose to not forgive someone, your heart is not right with God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. We must let it go. Forgive so that God can use you. And interestingly, you see, even in the ministry, it's very easy for you to become bitter. As for a pastor's heart, if you are in ministry, you should be ready. Your heart will be ripped, battered, broken, jumped on, somersaulted with, squeezed. You should be ready. a disciple you've prayed for, labored for, prayed over, cried over. They just come and say, we are going. And in fact, the things you have even been teaching us, we didn't really like it, but we just had to accept it like that, because at that point in time, we didn't really have revelation like that. Now we seem to have some revelation. So we are now even deeper. As we can say, we are now even deeper. So we seem to have some revelation. So it means that now we are matured in the spirit. You see, we are mature in the spirit. Thank you very much, sir, for teaching us the small thing. You know, the morning devotion and the prayer. Those basic things. But now we have more revelation, cosmic, and we are of age. You see? And then you look at them and your heart is ripped. See that? Your heart is ripped. Many times your heart will be ripped. Yeah. That's why I'm saying that. See, if you have ever suffered laboring over somebody, if you have ever suffered laboring over somebody and the person leaves, you see, the kind of pain that you experience, you shouldn't want to leave anybody who has labored over you. If not, you are a devil. Yeah. Yeah. If you have suffered that pain, you shouldn't want to leave somebody who has labored over you to suffer that pain, because it can be very wonderfully painful. But you see, after you probably might have experienced this, listen to me, men of God and women of God, so that it will help some of you. Are you listening to me? I'm teaching you how to go about it. After you have experienced some of these things, watch this temptation. Watch this temptation. That you don't create a barricade around your heart such that nobody has an entrance into that special place that you once gave the people who have left. Watch it. That you don't create a wall. You see, your heart will be ripped. But don't create a wall. Are you listening? Allow people in again. And love them and labor over them and pray over them again. Because many times that's the temptation. As a pastor, you might say, because I've suffered this thing, see, I will not allow anybody. So sometimes you can even be laboring over people, but you don't care about them. Yes, it can be true. It's like you are laboring over them, but you don't care about them. You don't care about them in a sense that, like, you don't care about them. You don't care about them in a sense that you do not allow them into that special place. It's like that special place is guarded, is locked. You don't have anybody inside there. You don't have anybody inside there. Don't have anybody inside there. Listen. Allow them in. Are you listening? We have the heart of Jesus. And Jesus allows us that heart to accommodate everybody. If anybody leaves, we'll raise some other more. I'm telling you, anybody that leaves will raise some other more. That's the heart we have. Oh, you are leaving. Okay, we are going to raise some other more. That's what we'll do. Say, we are not part. Oh, well, that's fine. You can go. The Lord bless your way. We're raising some other more. Are you listening? Let nobody's departure become so detrimental to you that it begins to affect the work and it begins to affect what you are doing. Anybody that says, I'm leaving, we are going to raise some other more. Are you listening? And leaving is not a shock. It shouldn't be a shock. When somebody leaves, it's not a shock. Say, oh, he has left. Ah, yeah, we thank God for him. Hey, sister, let's go and raise some more. Are you listening? Are we going to raise some more? And then you go out and you have some. You see, more are going to come. Are you listening? More are going to come. You see, one of the things that God told me, and I've realized that this thing in my life is true. He told me this. He said, Pascal, for any one person that leaves, I'll give you someone 3 times more efficient than them. I said, what did you say? He said, any one person that leaves, the next person that comes to take their stead will be 3 times more efficient than the one. I said, then there's no need. Then there's no need to worry. He told me this many years ago. He said, whenever you see someone leave, the next person that comes in, I'm making them 3 times efficient than what they should have been. I said, wow. Then we should just raise some more. Are you listening? We're going to raise some more. Some of you think when you leave, the church will die, the ministry. Leave and see. You'll be shocked. You will shock. You will shock. 3 times your kind we are going to have. 3 times your kind we're going to have. Haven't you seen how somebody left your discipleship group? You went to evangelize. Another person came and it looks like the person is rigorously even more giving than the one you thought had left already. Yes, rigorous, crazy. That's the prophecy over this ministry. For anybody that leaves, 3 times more efficiency. Effectiveness, 3 times more. It's like the Lord will say, I am so much with you that I want to do 3 times more what one person would have done. So don't be afraid. Are you listening? It might just hurt for a while. But as you go out to labor, there are more that will come. I'm talking about bitterness, and I'm trying to touch slightly bitterness in everywhere, family, relationship, anything. I'm just giving you what you need so that you are not bitter. Are you listening? You're not bitter. So Simon's heart was not in the right place because he was bitter. He was envious of the power. He was envious of what is happening. Today, somebody goes out and sings wonderfully and you're envious. Saying, why did you sing wonderfully? Why is you singing? Eh? Pastor didn't allow me to. Oh, Pastor, you know, I could have even sang better. You couldn't have sung better. You should actually just learn and receive. Are you listening? Let's not become envious of many things in the wrong way. If you envy something, there's a way even you can draw towards that thing and receive of that thing and become a blessing and a partaker of what is happening. But when you become bitter, haven't you seen married couples bitter before? Yeah, married couples bitter. The man just lifts up a pistol and hits the wife head and the wife is dead. Bitterness, it's a rage, an anger. Anger, it can kill. Let's not be bitter. Are you listening? Let's not be bitter. You guys have reminded me through the sermons on what God told me many years ago. I'm very excited to remember. You know, so Ephesians chapter 4 verse 31. Are you listening? Let all bitterness, sharpness, unpleasantness, subtle attacks, tensiousness, hostility, grudges, unhappiness, displeasure, anger, fury, rage. Let all of these things, he says, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And he says, be kind one to another. You know what it means to be kind? One to another? Be kind. Be kind. Be kind is to be good. It's to be nice. It's to be thoughtful. It's to be warm. So you should be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted is the word love, actually. It connotes a kind of love. Yeah. You see how two married couples, if married couples use them, we don't even see that because oftentimes married couples, their heads are hot. Maybe newly married couples, let's say that. Newly married couples. Yeah? Newly married couples. I mean, just a few married couples that you see that they are 20 years into marriage and there's still that tenderness. But your marriages are going to be tender in Jesus' name. See that the guy is driving his own car, SUV 2016 model. The guy's driving his V8. And I'm like, can't you all both drive in the same car? You see, that tenderness. They said, no, we just want to go our own separate ways. We can't just wait. You see that? So your marriages are going to be full of tender-heartedness. Do you understand? It's like when newly married couples hug one another on a picture, do you see how the man holds the lady and the lady's head is on the man? See, that connotes tenderness. It's like you are tender. You are soft. You see that? After 20 years, they are both driving in different cars. But from the very onset, it's like there's a tenderness. See? The lady's going to get down from the car. The man just gets down quickly. Oh, newly married couples, 15 years after. You know, the lady is delaying to get out from the car and then the man is blowing a horn like, pom, 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 like, please, you can get out. You know, so you see that you will find that in newly married couples. You see, okay, that's just by the way, but your marriages should be tender to the end. Are you listening? So that's what God is saying. He says that you should be kind one to another. Tender. Tender. Are you listening? Soft. Are you listening? Not quick and sharp. No, soft. Are you listening? Tender. Forgiving one another. You see, when you are tender, you easily forgive. Like, I forgive you. Sometimes you don't even see the wrong. You've already forgiven. So he says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Right? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So just the same way Christ forgave us, while we're yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Yes. He never withheld anything from us. Right? He gave us his son. That's wonderful. He forgave us even while we were in deep sin. That's what he wants you to do for your brother. He says, let him go. Forgive him. Forgive him. Some of you, someone borrowed money from you. Eh? The person has not paid you. And the person is not saying anything. And you are bitter. But you want God to knock the person. You just say, it's because of my money. That's why. No. If the person is not paying back, forgive them. Are you listening? If the person maybe said, I'm going to pay on this day, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after, you don't hear from him, you can call him and ask, oh, brother, you said you were going to pay on this day, this day. What's happening? Do you need some additional time? Or do you need some more? This. Are you listening? You see that? You see that? But don't have it in your heart that, you know what Nigerians will say? It is moto go jam you. It means that you'll just be knocked by a motorbike by tomorrow in the morning. You see that? So don't respond. Don't hold grudges in your heart. Whatever anybody has done to you, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. We're going to have a great year. Forget it. Are you listening? Don't be bitter. Don't be hard-hearted towards God. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be disobedient. Don't be stubborn. Are you listening? Forgive. Forgive. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Before the person is, I forgive you. I forgive you, brother. I forgive you. I forgive you. If there are also times where you probably might have to call the person out and say, okay, this you did, I don't really like it. And I think you should be able to do that. Many times in restoring relationships, you have to be able to talk to the other party and say, look, I wasn't happy that this thing you did to me. But I think because I want to keep the brotherhood, I want to maintain the relationship, you know, and that's why we iron out this issue. And there was, I didn't even know it would. Okay, then please, I'll not do that again. Forgive me, I didn't know it would hurt you in a certain way. And then you move on together and you move on strongly. Are you listening? So I want to encourage you. That's what I want to do. I want to encourage you that you should endeavor not to walk in bitterness. Bitterness will siphon the flow of the Spirit. It will cause your eyes not to see clearly. It will cause your heart not to respond to impulses of the Spirit clearly. It will cause you to walk in anger. It will drain you. You see, some people are always drained. Some people are always drained. Some people are always drained. Like every time they are drained. Today I sat in a trotro and I've never met any trotro driver that insults people like this trotro driver I sat in this afternoon. He insulted everybody from Madina area to Kaswa. He insulted and it's not like the insults are very calm and nice. Like he just tears you apart. Hey, I was like, so at a point in time, while he insulted like almost everybody, I just wanted to ask him that. Pacho, what check your BP and that? That's one of the things I wanted to ask him. Like, have you checked your BP? Because if you are insulting everybody you meet on the road with like so much, you know, I mean, your BP should be skyrocketing, you know, or it means you're not going to live long. And that was the only thing I wanted to ask him, that please, he should fear God. He should go and check his BP. When he checks his BP and he comes back, then we'll have a very fruitful conversation. I've not seen anybody that can insult. I've not met anybody that can insult like that driver I sat in his car today. I've not seen anybody. He has taken the record. Deep insults. I even wanted to remember one, but it's not coming. And he insults in cheese. So it's in depth. It's deep. I was just like, no, this guy should check his BP. When he checks his BP, nobody will advise him. Because if you are supposed to be responding at anybody that crosses you, anybody that just comes your way, anybody that says, Pacho, Kowenim, Kowenim, the moment you just say Kowenim, Kowenim, insults are heaping up and are being poured out to you. Yeah, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Are you listening? Me, many times I look at things very quietly. Yeah. And when I really want to react, there's a look I can give to you. You beg me. Yeah. But you shouldn't react. Don't react. Are you listening? Don't react. Don't react impulsively. Is that what you're saying? Okay, I'll show you that me too, I can insult. Then you also go into your insults bag. You're moving insults. You're heaping out insults. Say, your father. I say, hey, my father. Hey. Then she goes back into her insult. Your father, mother, auntie, siblings. She gives like a 5 combination for one insult. Like she insults your whole family. I'm like, Jesus Christ. You know? So one of the things I want to advise you to do in this year is that don't be bitter. Are you listening? Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter concerning anything. Let it go. Are you listening? Our last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 15. Is that blessing you? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Follow peace with all men. What did he say? Follow peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. Be at peace. Be known to be someone that is a peaceful person. Are you listening? Follow peace with all men. Are you listening? Follow peace with all men, including your boss at your workplace. That's on you. Follow peace with all men. And listen, follow peace with all men. Make sure you are at peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently. You see that? You're looking diligently. It means you're on the lookout for this. He says, lest any man fail of the grace of God. So there are ways you can fail of God's grace. You can become something that God's grace is not, right? God's grace is liberal. It's enjoying, right? It's joyful. It's encouraging. Whenever you see someone filled with God's grace, right? The person is liberal. The person can give. You see that? The person is loving. The person is joyous. The person is happy. You see? So he says that follow diligently, except that if you don't follow diligently, you're going to fall short of the grace of God in your life. Do you see that? And he says, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. I'm going to say something shocking here. Thereby many are defiled. And many of the times you will see that bitterness is used as a comparing brother for fornication. So they are saying that the one who fornicates and the one who is bitter, you are all in the same soup. None of you are better than the other. Look at it in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Fornicator or profane person. See, so he's using bitterness, springing up trouble, defiling. You know what it means to be defiled? It says the 12-year-old has been defiled. You see, it's like to corrupt the purity of something. You see, so that's why maybe the girl is 14 or 15. You say, you have defiled the girl. It means that she was pure. But you have come to corrupt that purity, that perfection of how it came in. Yeah? You violate chastity or virginity. You make the thing unclean, it's unpleasant. You have defiled the thing. That's what bitterness does to you. Just like fornication, defiling. Huh? Bitterness is fornication. The same thing, the same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So whenever you are bitter, you are corrupt and you lack that purity. Now, does that vision I shared with you make sense? It makes sense now. See that you can be nice, but the taste is corrupt. It's corrupt. But God is helping you right now to deal with anything that is unhealthy in your walk with him. Your father, you will not be bitter towards him. Your mother, you will not be bitter towards her. Parents, siblings, extended family relations, friends, best friends, they left you say, I'm bitter towards this person. No, refuse to be bitter. Walk in love. Are you listening? Right after this teaching, you should listen to it again and again and again and again, and then pray concerning it. Speak in tongues more. Are you listening? Speak in tongues more. And ask the Lord, if you're struggling with this, to help you. Are you listening? Yes. There are some things that are deep-seated seeds in your heart. But I see God removing them by His Spirit, and He's helping you to walk past them. He's removing them out of your heart. Removing them out of your heart. You forgive that friend. You forgive that brother. You forgive that sister. You let them go from your heart. You call them again. You pick up a phone and say, I'm calling you to find out how you're doing. Yeah, you call them. You call them. You will not be bitter towards them in the name of Jesus. In your discipleship groups, make sure the seed of bitterness is not taking its roots there. Make sure it's not taking its roots there. Whenever you sense that people are becoming bitter towards one another, try and deal with its roots. Deal with it. We'll deal with that by praying in the Spirit more often. Try and pray and ensure that this is not having any deep-seated roots in your discipleships, amongst discipleships. Say, this one has done this to me. This one said this about me. See, let them go. Let's grow up much more in unity and in love. Let's not allow the enemy in our midst. He's the foreign person. You don't want to allow him in our midst. Everybody else here is good. He's the only foreign person. He's the only foreign person. And so the Lord is helping you in this place. You're not going to be bitter. You're going to be full of love. It's like whenever we see you, we can sense that sweetness all around you. You'll not be sad. You'll not be bitter. You'll not be full of rage. You will not be confused about something that you should do right. You'll do it right in the name of Jesus. The Lord is removing seeds of bitterness. Seeds. They are supposed to grow to become great stumps or get great trees. But He's removing out seeds of bitterness. And you walk lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter through it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Throughout all your life's days, when men do things to you, you will find a way to forgive them. You'll find a way to walk with them in love. You'll find a way to care about situations that can escalate into something dangerous. God will always grant you the wisdom to be able to handle bitterness. And this year, as you walk in love, you keep flourishing. Everything around you flourishes, and it does well. Everything around you flourishes and does well. I repeat, everything around you flourishes and does well in Jesus' mighty name. And so walk in love. Even in the ministry, people have done things to you. Don't worry. Somebody left. That's okay. More are going to come. 3 times more efficient and effective. Don't say this in a way like, I'm hurt. God, more are going to come. 3 times. No. You already know. It's something God has given to us as a commission. When somebody leaves, 3 times of their kind, God will push them in. Doesn't matter how long it takes, but we know what God has said, and we can trust God entirely. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you that seeds of bitterness and roots of bitterness are not taking its hold in our lives. We are free. We are light. We are full of joy. We are loving people. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.